Not a thing. You know what you deserved? Death, hell, and eternal punishment. What compelled him to do what he did on the cross? It was his Father's will. That's the only thing. The Father's will that he would see fit to die. My mind was just whirling as they were singing that. I don't know which end of the spectrum to start on, but one scripture says that don't consider your life too much. You're a mist that appears for a moment and then gone. Then it describes us as no better than a worm. And then if you get more serious, Paul says we're the worst of sinners. Okay? I also thought of a little boy that said, they kept asking him, what did you do to be saved? And he just said, I do my part. And they said, well, what do you mean you do my part? And he said, I did my part. I sinned. And Christ did his part. He died for my sins. That's really all we can contribute to the equation is sinfulness. Because what did Genesis 6:5 say? And God looked out throughout the earth and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of every man was only evil continually. So thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 15, beginning of verse 28. So we're looking this morning at the prayers of a Gentile mother. And I believe there's much to be learned. And I was thinking about whether or not I could preach this morning as if I believe it. And I want to assure you, this acronym, ACTS in Prayer, has been a part of my prayer life for some time. And since we got into Answers in Genesis and we've been teaching this in a toddler's class, it has really become a real emphasis of my prayer time. If you paid any attention to my praying this morning, you'll notice that I use the ACTS acronym in my praying, and that's how easily it can guide us. So I'm excited about this because I do know this, where the church is lazy is in the prayer closet. It takes time, it takes devotion, it takes dedication, it's hard work, okay? So I know that there's some of you that probably have a hard time getting in the prayer closet on a regular basis. And I know for all of us that once you get in the prayer closet, we're still distracted. So we have to bring us back to a focus. And I think this acronym brings us back to a focus. So for you that don't have a regular prayer life, I hope that today you'll decide to have one. And that you that do have a regular prayer life, something will be said today that you would say, you know, I could use that to help me in my prayer life. So that's where I want to go today. So you guys kind of know where we've been in the last several months in the preaching. We've been in chapters 14 through 17 of Matthew. And so what's happening in that scripture is Jesus is doing more and more private instruction because there's more and more opposition to his teaching as he heads towards Jerusalem and the cross. In chapter 15, we've looked at traditions versus the commandments of God. We looked at false teachers, and the church is full of false teachers. This church, if we're not on our guard, could be infiltrated by false teachers, and it happens that way. We have looked at the source of all sin, and it's not out here. We looked at the source of all sin, and it's our impure heart. If you don't believe that, hopefully you'll be convinced of it again this morning. We looked at the only solution to the impure heart, and that is to be born again, to have a new heart and a new spirit that comes from God himself. And for the last 2 weeks, we've looked at this Gentile woman. And this woman that God said, woman, your faith is great. We have seen her humility. She called herself a dog. We saw her modesty. She only wanted a crumb of what Jesus had to offer. And we saw her fervency and her persistence in prayer. We also looked last week at this fact. Grace and mercy of God is not dictated by location or your situation. God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And he can go anywhere and bring his grace and mercy to a person. So a person never gets outside the realms and the range of the mercy and the grace of God. He is plenty sufficient to overcome that. We also found out from her that this affliction that her daughter had brought she and her daughter closer to God. And that's what afflictions are for. Afflictions of the flesh or of the body or the soul or afflictions in your situation are not necessarily for punishment. Afflictions always are intended to bring us closer to God. So today we're going to look at her prayer and her perseverance in prayer. And what did that look like? And I want to tell you, this text is great encouragement not to just pray, not just to call out to God, but to keep calling out to God till you get an answer. I keep thinking about when Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. What did he tell him? Is it okay to tell the Lord, I'm not going to stop bringing this prayer request to you until you answer my prayer? Nothing wrong with that. Because that's exactly what Jacob did. That's the example of this prayer, and it's example of others that we have in the Bible. So, how can we become an effective prayer warrior? Because the full armor of God said that we should pray for all the saints, and that's all of us to pray, and we should all pray continually. So, how do we become a good prayer warrior? Well, let me tell you one thing to do is teach your children and learn the Lord's Prayer. You want to know how to pray? Who's a better example of that than Christ himself? And you're going to find out that the prayers of Christ and the prayers of great people in the Bible and almost all prayers follow the same pattern, and that same pattern is they follow along with the Ten Commandments. So you want to be a good prayer warrior? Know the Bible prayers of the Bible. Know Jesus' Lord's Prayer. Know the Ten Commandments. And then there's great prayers in the Bible that you can read. And there's a list of them in your program. There are some prayers that you can read in the Bible to learn how to pray more effectively. So, how do we learn how to pray? And how do we learn how to pray and to pray continually? So, what I want to talk to you this morning about the rest of the time is a simple way to pray. And don't we need it to be simple? I thought about calling Jade up here or Joseph up here this morning. And they can stand here and they can tell you the acronym, ACTS, and they can tell you what each one of those letters mean. So it can be learned. It can be learned by a toddler. It can be learned by a young person. So I want to teach you this morning a good way to pray. So what can we learn from this text about the Canaanite woman in regard to prayer? Well, I want you to understand she was fervent and persistent. And it just came back to me that I remembered one time that I was in Ecuador. Seems like good things happen when you go out of the country and get somewhere else and the Lord speaks to you in a situation when you kind of get removed from things. But I was asking the Lord what was wrong with my prayer life. And y'all, some of you may remember this. He said, I don't hear much fervency in your prayer. You're not too passionate in your prayer. And also, he taught me that I can become really distracted in my prayer life. So this woman was fervent, and even when she was discouraged, she was not distracted. She didn't lose her focus. So there's some things we can really learn from her. And so, what does this perseverance look like? So, look at your notes and follow along. We're going to look at just three or four statements from this prayer, and then we'll get into the acronym. First, her prayer seemed unnoticed. Does anybody ever struggle with that? You don't think it's getting above the ceiling? You don't think God's hearing? So, it was a little more emphatic for this woman. So, listen to this. So she prayed, and verse 23a says, but he did not answer her a word. So, you know our thinking is, if you don't have a reply, you didn't hear me. Or if you don't agree with me, you didn't hear me, right? But this woman wasn't distracted by her. When he did not say anything, she pushed on. She did not stop praying. And then she gets more encouraging words. Look at verse 24. He answered her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's really discouraging because she's a Canaanite. She's a pagan. She's not a Jew. But she kept persisting. Verse 25 says, but she came. Now listen to this. So now she comes and she got on her knees. She knelt before him and she says these words, Lord, help me. Is that a pretty urgent request? Lord, help me. And that implies there's nobody else that can help me. She's probably like the woman that had the issue of blood. She had probably taken all the worldly help she could get. No help, nowhere. Lord, help me. And then more discouragement. These are the words of Jesus. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. We know what the bread is. It was the gospel. We know who the dogs were, the Gentiles. Who were the children of God? The Jews. And she hears these words. Even then, she's not discouraged. Wow, what a wise answer. And she says, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She says, look, even the stray dogs that come into the house, come around the house, get the scraps. I just need a little of your mercy and grace. I just need a small touch of Jesus. I don't want much. Just want a little. But I want you to look at the reward of her perseverance. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. So, she had faith. She had heard. She might have witnessed the miracles of Jesus. And she had faith that this Jesus could do what she was asking him to do. Matter of fact, who's going to pray and ask Jesus to do something they don't think he can do? Well, sometimes we got to prove our faith by persisting in asking. We still believe, Lord, even when you're not. And look at the real thing that she was looking for. And her daughter was healed instantly. Let me say this. Not only instantly, but completely. The demon was gone. Amen? So, I don't know the first time I saw this acronym, Acts in Prayer. It's old. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who devised it. But Acts, A-C-T-S. For you young people, you got to take the A-C-T. Or just add an S to it. A-C-T-S, Acts. Okay? And so here's the acronym. It's a fill in the blank today, okay? Y'all got to actually do something, all right? So the first one, the A, is adoration or acknowledgement. Now, I want you to flip over a page or two because I want you to see what it means to acknowledge God. Flip over just a page or two, and I don't even have mine up here. Jeannie, could I borrow yours, please? Page 5 or 6. Page 6. What's it mean to acknowledge God? Do you know there's a bunch of gods? So when you pray to God, any more is kind of like the Athenians. You need to know which God you're praying to. All right? So the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God the Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. I love this little acknowledgement of who God is. So I want to just read through this for you, because if you don't know who God is, and if you don't believe who God is, you need to be convinced yourself, or you're not going to pray fervently. So I'm on page 6, Acts in Prayer. Acknowledge who God is and who we are not. The Lord our God is the one and only living and true God, whose power to exist is drawn from himself alone, so that he needs no assistance from outside himself to exist. Before you can adore or love a God, you've got to know which God. Amen? So you're going to have to acknowledge which God you're praying to, who is infinite in being and perfection, whose essence cannot be comprehended by any but himself, who is the most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, who only hath immortality, who dwells in the light which no man can approach, who is unchanging, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, all-powerful, in every way infinite, most holy, most wise, most free, most absolute, who works all things according to the counsel of his own unchanging and most righteous will for his own glory, who is most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, who is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and who at the same time is most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. I'm going to give Pablo just a second to catch up with reading that in Spanish, because I realized right at the end he was probably trying to keep up. So as he finishes that, I want you just to think carefully and quietly for just a second. Is that the God that you pray to? Is that not the kind of God you want to pray to? So see why it's so important to acknowledge to God that you know who He is. So read that as often as you need to in beginning to pray. So the first blank is to adoration, adore, or acknowledge who God is. That's just telling God how much we love Him and adore Him, bowing and worshiping and telling Him that we know who He is. That's where to start. You know what it's really saying? You know where to start with your prayer life? Is on your knees. On your knees, worshiping Him for being God Almighty. See, confession. In confession, we do nothing other than confessing our sins, calling them out by name, repenting and seeking forgiveness for our sins. That's what confession is. We're going to go into this in some detail. Blank number three is for the T, thanksgiving. Thanking God for His goodness, His mercy, and His grace. Just go into a rant of all the things that you're thankful for. He doesn't tire of hearing those things. Come on now. All of us occasionally could use a good dose of writing down 10 things we're thankful for. Because if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the world that we only think about the bad. And we never are thankful for the good. It's a good place to go. And the S is supplication or seeking. Supplication or seeking. Asking for things. Spiritual things primarily, but also for other things. And who do you supplicate and seek for? Yourself and others. And I just want to tell you, if you run out of time in praying, pray for others and forget yourself. Just pray for others, forget yourself. If you're gonna forget one of those two, because I think God in hearing you pray for other people are going to meet your needs too. So, let's talk about these just a little closer. Supplication and seeking adoration, acknowledgement of God. So, in adoration, acknowledgement of God, we just bow down and worship God and acknowledge who He is. Now, in the process of that, you know what you also need to know? Who you're not. You are a mist. You are a worm at best. You are a sinner. You are not near. You're God's creation. You're not a little God. You need to acknowledge all of those things. So that's the A. So let's talk a little more about confession. And I'll just be honest with you. This is This is the letter I have to spend the most time on. C. Because it takes me a little longer to work through this than the others. Now, you know where else you need to err? If you're going to err on spending a lot of time at a place, this would be good, or telling God how much you love Him would be good. Do you ever tire of hearing from your kids or your grandkids or somebody else they love you? Well, neither does God. Neither does God. He wants to hear how much we love Him. And you know, the next thing He loves to hear are prayers of confession and repentance. So, I quote this scripture every morning. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there what is any wicked way in me. You know what I find every morning? The scripture's true. There's sin. And where do I find it? Deep in here. And how do I know it's deep in here? Because if it's not by my actions, it's in my stinking thinking. What's Mark 7, 20 through 23 say? It's not what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, but it's that's on the inside. You got it right there. There's 13 of them. This is what makes a man unclean. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, arrogance, slander, folly. All of those evils are where? In my heart. And that makes a man unclean. Now, you can put it where you want to, but this is where it fits for me. If I'm not careful, matter of fact, my wife knows this. If I'm not careful, she can be my problem. I can use her as an excuse. If I'm not careful, I can blame the left or a certain political party. I can blame them for the problems I have. So because of that affinity to do that, this is a good place for me to stop and to say, it's not who is out there that's my problem. It's what's in here that's my problem. So I'll just tell you, this is the place that I have begun to pray for our president and vice president. I pray by name for President Joe Biden and his wife Jill and Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband John. And I pray that God would bless them, that would watch over them, and would move them to govern in such a way that we can have a quiet and peaceful and free life. I'm telling you, I pray that, and this is where I pray it. And then I pray for other political leaders that might believe a little closer to what I believe. But I pray for them by name, and I remind myself that they're not the problem. Now, let me tell you what else I do. I also pray that God would bless them, but I pray that the evil agenda of abortion and transing and secularization of America and one world government and one world church and one world economy, I pray that God would stop it dead in the water. That's where it fits for me. This is when I remind myself that you have plenty in here to worry about rather than worrying about some church member or somebody that you work with or some politician. I got enough problems of my own. And that's what we need to be worrying about. Especially those people and things we have no control over. Pride, selfishness, unbelief. And if you don't think that you struggle with those, let me just tell you, those are three root sins that everybody struggles with, and you got some of all of it. And so do I. I also pray for any besetting sins that I might have. I mean, you know those things that where you slip up, slander, gossip, whatever it might be. And you know that's you. And you need to pray that God would forgive you of those sins and heal you from those sins. Let me just tell you this. There are some killer sins. Y'all with me? What would be one for a marriage? Tell me. Adultery. All right? What could be some other sins that are killer sins that would ruin a ministry or ruin your life? Well, let me tell you. I pray in the morning for those killer sins. And I talk about those sins that could catch me. And I pray this. I want you to know, we got to kill out sin like it's going to kill us. We are to put to death sin. And I want you to know that I pray this prayer. Lord, before I'm stupid, evil, illegal, immoral, or perverse, listen, Lord, just take me out of here. Take me out of here before I embarrass my Lord, my church, my brothers, my wife, my kids. If there's a sin in your life that you know is capable of destroying you or your family or your marriage or your church, that's the way you ought to be praying against it. It's got to go. And I don't know what yours is. That's how bad we got to hate sin. What did sin cost Christ? His life. We're talking about confession. We're talking about confession of sins. Here's where I go next. I'm trying to do it by the Bible the best I can. And I say, oh God, I take my sins, known, unknown, and hidden sins, and I roll them over on Jesus and Him on the cross. So you know what I do with my sins that He convicts me of every morning? I put them on Jesus. That's where it's His blood. It's in Him that I find forgiveness, not in something that I do. And then I say, oh Lord, now that I'm empty of self, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now where does that come from? It comes from the Scripture. I tell Him, being emptied of sin and self, I want to put on the full armor of God. And I prayed this, I prayed the Scripture to Him. There it is. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now when I say I pray that, I pray every word up to Him, best I know how, every morning. Saturdays are a little different. Sundays are a little different. Sundays are not much different. Saturdays are a little different. Now why in the world would we put on the full armor of God? Because we have an enemy. And we have some armor. Come on now. We have an armor, and some of you have never put it on. He says, put on how much of the armor? The full armor of God. Once in your lifetime? I think not. So, that's my C. Now I got a word for you. Then I move on. I've told the Lord I love Him. I've acknowledged who He is, acknowledged who I am. The best I know how, I've dealt with my sin. Whose sin? Come on now. Yours? Deanie's? I've dealt with my sins. You know what? You're the only one that can deal with your sins. Then it's a little more fun now. Thanksgiving. Wow. Don't skip this one. Because God needs to know you're a thankful person. Do we have... I gave this assignment to somebody this week. I was going to say write down 5 things you're thankful for. That was too simple. Come on now. That was too simple, right? Give me 10 things you're thankful for. Every morning there ought to be at least 10 things that you tell God you're thankful for. Now there are some that's going to be a no-brainer. Christ, and His salvation, and your wife and your kids, those are no-brainers. But what are some things that you're really thankful for? His goodness, His mercy, His grace. For me, listen, this afternoon, hopefully before I go to bed tonight, before then, and for sure when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to thank God that He again allowed me to prepare a sermon and to preach it. That's the grace of God. One of these days, unless the Lord just takes me out in a heart attack, I'll probably get to the place I can't do that. There are little things that we need to be thankful for. And God will never tire of hearing you tell Him what you're thankful for. A, adoration, acknowledgement. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. Then we get to the ones that we skip the others and go straight to, right? Supplication, seeking, asking God for things. So let's spend a little time there. Prayers for ourselves. Here, let me just tell you this. Don't we sometimes just get discouraged and say, just no use? And we give up. We don't see any answer. Well, let me tell you, persevere. Don't give up. Light's coming. I just want to tell you, if you will go back to the Lord in prayer at your lowest hour, are y'all listening? At your lowest hour, if you'll go back to the Lord in prayer on your knees, let me tell you what you're going to find. Are y'all ready for this? He's still on the throne. He is still on the throne. Just don't quit. Matthew 7:7-8. This is quite an unjustly used scripture for many things. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. You remember where this is. It is at the end of chapters 5 and 6 of the Sermon on the Mount that's told us crazy things like, don't even look at a woman and lust after her. Don't even get angry. It has told us things like, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You remember? Don't let one careless word come out of your mouth. You remember that powerful Sermon on the Mount? And we're thinking, how in the world can I do that? Well, here's it. Ask. Ask for spiritual strength and discernment and understanding, and God's going to answer your prayer. So how can you do what God wants you to do? Two promises. That God is always working in you to make you able to do what He wants you to do. Philippians 2:13. He promises us that He'll give us the ability. And then He tells us how to get that ability. Ask Him for it. When it comes to praying for yourself, you need to forget your relationships, maybe, or your job, or your financial situation, or even your physical health, and cut to the chase and get to your spiritual needs. Jeremiah 29:13. Why do we have to pray this way? You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. Pray on. Don't be discouraged. Make a renewed effort. You haven't prayed in months. In the morning, tonight, make a new effort. Get back in prayer. We need prayer warriors. Amen. Your family needs you to be a prayer warrior. Your church needs you to be a prayer warrior. Your preacher and your elders and your teachers need you to be prayer warriors. They need your prayers. So let me say this again. I want us to take a look at this woman who was ignored, called a dog. Three times the Lord discouraged her. The disciples said, send her away. I want you to look at her and I want you to resist the temptation not to pray or to quit praying. Resist the temptation. I'm giving you a great outline to pray. And so after my sermon notes is some real meat and details about this acts in prayer. You can read through it. Matter of fact, if you'll read through it this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, it will really firm up this message, what's left in the program. So you pray for yourself and you pray for others. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit when? On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for who? All the saints. All the Lord's people. Hey, don't just pray for your lost family members and your lost acquaintances at work. Pray for all the saints. Wherever you're in your prayer closet, you ought to have one of these. It's a roster. You ought to go down that roster on a regular basis. And if you don't know somebody on the roster, just determine the next time you go to church, you're going to find out who they are. And not only find out who they are and not only speak to them, but tell them, you know why I figured out who you were? I prayed for you. Pray for who? All the saints in the church. Here they are. That's a good place to start. Let me ask you, do we have children and grandchildren and friends and co-workers and neighbors who need Jesus? Huh? Come on now. Do we? Absolutely. And did you what? Did you know this? Ignoring taking them to God in prayer will not change the facts of the matter. They are lost and need Jesus. You may can put it out your mind by ignoring it and not doing anything about it, but that will not change their spiritual condition. What could change their spiritual condition is you're imploring and pleading with God to do with them what He did with this woman's daughter. He drove out the demons. He can save them if you'll continue to pray for them. Pray on. Do we see others who are struggling? Listen, if you're not involved in somebody's life that's struggling spiritually, you're missing a blessing. Y'all hear me? You're missing a blessing. Because let me tell you what Richard Baxter said in 1651. When you get involved in somebody else's life spiritually, guess who's going to get the blessings and guess who's going to learn? You are. Acts, adoration, acknowledgement, confession of sins, thanksgiving, supplication for yourself and others, especially for your church family. So you've got this challenge right at the end of the sermon. I want to challenge you to have at least 15 minutes a day in which you pray. And you'll find out in about a week, 15 minutes is not long enough. You can barely get started in 15 minutes. But you'll find out that you need more time than that. I want to challenge you, if you already have that 15 minutes, find out a way you can improve your prayer time. You know, we go through seasons in our lives, and Billy retired a spell ago, and so he and Yolanda had to figure out their quiet time and their time together as a couple with him retired. And you know what? They worked at it. And they figured out how to do it, and they're blessed by it. So if you'll put a little effort into what you're doing, listen, if you'll just put a little effort into your marriage, y'all listening, guys, it'll be good. What did I say? A little effort. If you put a little effort into your prayer life, it can get better. Y'all listening? If you'll put just a little effort in working for your church will get better. And you'll be blessed too. So put a little effort into your prayer life and it'll get better. So today, I think, it's not mine. I think historically I've laid out a good plan for prayer. But you know what? It won't do you a hill of good unless you put it into play. And you may have a good prayer life. Listen, don't scrap it. Just figure out how you can use this to do what? Improve it. Today we found a good place to start. And let me tell you, early in the morning is a good time to start. Now, when you get 60, nobody will have to explain this to you. When you get to be 60, you'll figure out praying at night is not the time to do it. Okay? And I figured out, and I believe it even for young folks, the plan is to pray when you get up. That in the reading of Scripture is your spiritual energy. You need it way more than you need your energy drink. Talk about an energy drink. Wow. About 15 minutes in the Word and 15 minutes on your knees in prayer, you could forget the Red Bull, huh? You'd be so fired up, they'll think you've had 5 Red Bulls on the way to work. Pray at every opportunity. When you get up, when you go to bed, when you sit down to eat. Listen, men, families, when you leave for school or leave for work, that's a good time to pray. You know what you're looking for with your prayer life? You're looking for another opportunity. Listen, and don't pass up the end of the gondola at Walmart. Come on now. Somebody stands by and says, "Hi, Brother Bruce, I got somebody I need you to pray for." Don't tell them you'll do with it when you get home. Pray with them right then. You'll forget. Plus, they haven't outlawed praying in Walmart yet. When you go to bed at night, listen, you want to bless. Now, if they're teenagers, they're not. Listen, they don't want you praying for them anytime. But they especially don't want you praying for them at night. But you know your little kids, man, they would be thrilled if you say, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you guys tonight. I'm going to try to pray for you guys every night. Want a blessing? Pray for your family at night." So we're working towards the place that any time is a good time to do what? Pray. Any time is a good time to pray. Look over at Joe. And I'm glad I'm not his truck. I'm glad I'm not his dashboard of his truck. Okay? I'm glad I'm not his truck, but he is always in that truck. Don't text and drive, but pray and drive. Pray for your safety. Pray for the safety of those around you. Don't waste your travel time, man. Pray. You got an easy diagram now for pray. HCTS, pray. So here's your assignment. Did y'all hear that? Woo! That is a nasty word. I know it is. I want to challenge you, okay? Don't use my emergency number, okay? I don't have enough minutes on it for my text messages, all right? So I want you to think about your prayer life. Okay? I want you to text me when you have a plan to start or when you decide what you're going to do to improve your prayer life. All right? So y'all going to look. I know I blow your phone up sometimes. And you may send me an ugly text that says, "You sent me 2 of those texts." Okay? That's okay. Just blow my phone up. I want to hear from you. I want to know that you're alive. I want you to know, I want to know that you can hear. How about this one? I'd love to know that you adults could take instructions. I would love to be blown away this week that you can actually hear an assignment and to do it. And I'd be blessed. Amen. I love you guys so much. And I love you so much to try to preach the truth to you. And I hadn't told you in a while. I'm going to tell you this morning in leaving. There's some programs. There's some rosters right here. We don't make those public anymore because there's a whole lot of private information on it. But I haven't told you lately. I'm going to tell you 4 or 5 things, okay? As certain as April 15th came last week, and some of you had to pay taxes, some of you got taxes back, but you had to file a tax return sometime before April 15th, as surely as taxes coming, you're going to die. At that moment, your eternity is going to be secure. So making preparation for dying has got to happen before death. You've got to repent and believe in Christ now, before death. Everyone's going to die. Everyone's going to be put in an urn or in the ground. There's going to be a day when all are resurrected and all will stand before God in judgment. At that time that we do that, we'll get our due reward, either eternal punishment or rewards for what we've done, not rewards because we to be saved, but for the good that we've done. We will find our eternal destiny, and at that time we'll be either given eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Those things are going to happen. And you need to think about them. You need to ask yourself, death, burial, resurrection, judgment, eternity. And here's the question. Have you considered it? And is there evidence by your life that you're prepared for that? Amen? Tom.